B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, hour number three of the program. Let me give a few hockey things here. We'll start to give you some hockey coverage as the Bruins face off tomorrow. Open up their season. NHL gets going today. Next hour and 15 minutes. Pittsburgh and who? Who do they face? Either way, your division rival, Pittsburgh Penguins.
Philly. They play Philly.
Okay, both your division rivals. And this is my leadoff thought. This, to me, is, I think, the number one thing to... Just the most noticeable thing that you're going to see here in this NHL season is the realignment. And you're only playing in your division. So the Bruins are only going to face seven other teams. And you've sort of relocated to what was the Metropolitan Division. In the olden days, the Patrick, right? Wasn't that the Patrick?
Yes.
You were the Adams?
Correct.
And the Rangers and whatnot were in the Patrick. And so you've kind of gone to the Patrick Division with the Rangers, the Flyers, the Capitals. Okay? I personally am really looking forward to this. I like this. If we're going to have a goofy sort of different kind of season, 56 games, might as well do something like this. And now I've got a whole different landscape to look at and a whole different range of teams to look at and games to watch and players. You know, I have Sidney Crosby in my face for 8 games this year, right? That's a lot. And I have Ovechkin in my face for 8 games this year. The Flyers are a good young team. They may be the division favorite. For all I know, that team's got some juice. And even though the Rangers aren't very good right now, they're sort of up-and-coming. Just that matchup, there's some juice there. So Rangers, Capitals, Penguins, Flyers, I'm looking forward to this. Now, the Islanders, Devils, and Sabres, I don't have much use for that. But I think half of these, you know, games are going to be really sort of interesting, and I'm looking forward to that. And I like the realignment in the league. I think the All-Canadian division is kind of cool. If frankly, there's just something about it that I like. I think the Canadians up there should love it. It's just sort of us. It's our country versus your. I don't know. There's just something about it that's sort of quaint and cute. And
well, you know
the Canadians. What's that?
You know how provincial they are about their sport. You know, I would think that they love that.
Yeah, who's going to be the Canadian champion? Like, you know, just let them play it off. You know, you guys decide who's the best up there. And then we'll decide who's the best down here. And then we'll see at the end. And there's just something about it that I like, and this I'm into. I wonder if it helps or hurts the Bruins. I, you know, initially thought and still think they get a break getting away from Tampa Bay. But the consensus is that this division, this East Division, is by far the hardest in hockey. And that is what most everyone thinks, most everyone believes. It's by far the hardest division in hockey. And so the Bruins did have an easy division outside of once you got past Tampa and Toronto. There was a lot of soft landings there in their old division. Now there's less. There's fewer. There's fewer soft landings. So maybe top to bottom it's a harder division, but I still think they catch a break because you still have to play off within your division. In other words, the first two rounds are within your division. So they're not facing Tampa in those first two rounds. Or Toronto, who I sort of, again, has got to catch at some point, right? Don't they? Or not? Either way, you're away from Tampa. But anyway, I just find that piece to it interesting, Mass.
Well, so look, again, I mean, you say Tampa's gone, Washington's in. How have they fared against the Capitals in recent years?
Poorly, but Holtby's gone.
Okay, so, but even so, I just summed about that, and I know that he had their number, so that's a fair point. I just, I mean, I like the difference, too. I'm not going to lie to you about that. In fact, I do find it somewhat interesting that going all the way back to the beginning of this whole pandemic, that the NHL, it feels to me, has made some good decisions along the way. As much as we gave credit to the NBA at the very, very beginning, I think the NHL probably has been most effective during COVID at keeping their fans engaged.
Okay, so just two of the things on this. The schedule, I think, is going to be tough. It's going to be a lot of bunching together, I think, because there's a lot of back-to-backs or two games in one city at once. Like the Bruins open up with two games at New Jersey tomorrow night, Saturday night. And I think those are going to be, it's just the nature of the sport that it's hard to sweep those games back to back. In other words, if the Bruins played the Devils once in November, once in February in New Jersey, I would like their chances better of picking up 4 points than I would them going back to back. So I think, you know, you've seen this in basketball a little bit. It's hard to walk into one city and beat a team twice, no matter what the gap is. And I think that's going to bunch teams closer together. You know, those Pittsburgh games. When you play Pittsburgh back-to-back, I mean, those are going to be splits. Like, I just have a hard time believing someone's going to sweep, what, you know, where if it's all spread out, it's more swept. So just, you know, keep an eye on that. That's a big thing. I do have a jumping-off question, though, you know, to the rest of sports. That all-Canadian division, the way they've realigned here in hockey this year, do you wish they did this on a permanent basis, or is there another realignment you'd like to see in any other league that you think we're due? Something big, something macro. And there's just one that jumped into my head that I'm curious about, and that is the NBA eliminating all divisions and all conferences and just going 1-16, you know, in the playoffs for sure, 1-16. And if in the regular season you've got to regionalize the schedule, that's fine. But you're still just, instead of six divisions and two conferences, and no one knows who are what's in what's division anymore. Like, I mean, quick, Murray, name the three divisions in the Eastern Conference in the NBA.
Atlantic.
Right. I mean, you don't even know the names of the divisions.
Southeast.
Never mind who's in them? Is that what that South? Is it the what's Miami in?
I believe the Southeast.
I couldn't even begin to tell you.
What's it like? The divisions don't mean anything.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't even begin to tell you.
In basketball, this is what I would do. Scrap all divisions, scrap all conferences. And just 1-32, 1-30, whatever. And then the playoffs, 1-16. And in the regular season, I'm not traveling to L.A. as much as I am to New York. Like, I'm still going to regionalize the schedule. But I think that's something to look at the NBA. Or, Maz, or am I wrong about that? Do you want to have Boston going through Philly every year and that natural rivalry building on itself? Is that more valuable than throwing the whole thing wide open?
So I like the two-conference model. I like the idea of having an East and a West, and then the winner from each side plays at the end. And so, now look, again, the point that you make is, obviously there's a benefit to that, because if you have two of the best teams in the league in the same conference, they're going to play in the final versus the conference final, which the NBA loves, as we know. I still like the East-West thing. And so usually in the NBA, whether they're coming from the same side or not, there is, you know, there's one team in the league that's better than everybody else. And so I just don't think that the impact on the finals will be as profound as people might think if you go 1-32. Does that make sense?
It does, and we have breaking news right now for you.
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
From Sham Sharania of The Athletic, senior lead NBA insider, he just tweeted, breaking news, the Houston Rockets are trading James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. No report on the return, but James Harden has been traded to the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow. So, for entertainment purposes, you've got to hope Kyrie stays. You know, I mean, talk about talk about putting two pieces together. What else could Brooklyn trade? If they trade Caris LeVert, give me his first name. Give me LeVert's
Caris
first
LeVert.
Name.
Yeah, Caris.
If they traded Caris LeVert, they would be freaking stupid. That kid's a stud. Okay, Murray said he's going to be a max player. You know, I don't know if he's, I mean, he'll get that money. I think he's just a notch below that. But either way, he's a real piece. I'm not trading that kid. I'm not trading Allen, the big guy. And Durant's my guy. So what is left there to trade if you're the Brooklyn Nets? It's Kyrie. So I don't know what else would be coming back. I'm sure we'll have it here in a second. But that makes it really interesting. And I, to me, the Kyrie jumping ship here and leaving the reservation, if you will, was really breaking well for you as the Celtics. You know, the Nets are better than you, but if Kyrie is going to jump ship, then that sort of changes the dynamic there. Well, if the Nets just swap out one problem and bring in James Harden, are you right back where you started from, you know, facing down a team that's more talented than you and has their bleep together? Which begets a whole other question. Is James Harden going to get his bleep together and lose some weight and get out of the clubs and bear down and be a pro and give a crap?
So look, he will for a little while. I mean, he will, because he's going to be happy getting out of Houston, and the Rockets are happy to get rid of him. I think either way, this thing's an indictment on Kyrie, whether they trade him or not. That Brooklyn, this thing's been out there for a while. Obviously, Harden has, forced the issue here to a certain degree. But don't you think the Nets are looking at this going, well, our idea was to have Durant paired with another great scorer. We can't get the other guy to show up. So you know what? Let's make the deal for Harden, and if Kyrie doesn't like it, who gives a rat's ass? Kyrie's not showing up anyway, so we're gonna bring Harden in. And if Kyrie doesn't like it, too bad.
I just don't know what in the world they could have traded if it's not Kyrie. But let's just say it is something else other than Kyrie. How do you feel about that team? Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant.
I mean, it's presently constituted. You don't got to worry about them because they're going to implode. It's the most insufferable team in the history of sports.
I sort of agree with Murray. I wonder how it's going to work. I mean, and honestly, I think Durant can tolerate a lot of it. Kyrie can't. Kyrie can't. He was bitching and fighting with the young players on the Celtics because they thought they were too good. Now Harden's going to come in and he's going to play nice.
What, Murray, what?
All right, so Sham Sharania just updated. Nets are trading for James Harden and sending 4 first-round picks and 4 draft swaps to the Rockets. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen are being moved. Could be another team or two involved.
Stupid.
They're idiots.
Stupid. They're trading Caris LeVert and Jared Allen? Oh, that's dumb. I think that's dumb. I think those are real players. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that's nuts.
No, that's insane.
For this guy, it is.
Say that one more time.
So, again, Nets are trading. This is from Shams of at The Athletic. Nets trading for James Harden and sending 4 first-round picks and 4 draft swaps to the Rockets. Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen are being moved. Could be another team or two involved.
So they're trading the equivalent of 8 first-rounders.
Okay, so the first-round picks, I mean, like 8 is strong. I mean, I'd say the first, I don't know how long Durant's going to be there or how long he's going to play, but if Durant's there 4 or 5 years, you know, those picks are going to be useless. You're picking at the bottom of the first round. And you know, even the swap thing, like, what does that doesn't do anything? You're not going to swap those years because Houston's going to have a worse record. Like, so that I get. Fine. Give them all the draft picks you want. I'm not giving up Caris LeVert and Jared Allen.
Okay, so this is Adrian Wojnarowski. Brooklyn's acquiring James Harden in a 3-way deal with Cleveland. Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, some Euro, 4 first-round picks, including Cavs 2022 first-round pick. So whatever about the picks. So it sounds like Caris LeVert might be going to Cleveland somehow. This is confusing as all hell. This league got out of control with how much control the players have.
Well, so there's another thing I was going to get to there, Maz. In that league, man, if a guy wants out, he's going to get out. And that sucks, doesn't it? Like, Harden could just completely control the shot like that?
Yes. Look, again.
Just by eating?
The pendulum has swung too far in the other way now. I mean, like, I'm all for a balance of power, but the power the players have in the NBA is off the charts. And you know who we can thank for opening the door for that?
Well, LeBron.
Yeah, now LeBron has the right.
Matt,
right?
But LeBron looks like a responsible, dedicated pro.
Correct.
The way he's handled all this compared to these jokers. I mean, yes, there was, you know, LeBron had a couple of instances where he got beat in the playoffs and sort of quit and shut it down, took his jersey off. Happened here, right? Like, we've seen him do that. But he's not eating himself out of the league.
Correct.
And he's not skipping out of work. And he's not completely, utterly bailing on his team like Kyrie Irving is doing, like James Harden is doing. You know, he's showing up, and if not giving his all, at least giving something. These guys are giving quit on the sport and the league and their team. These guys are a disgrace.
Well, and the other thing is he's a generational talent. So, like, you're going to throw your weight around. You better be LeBron. Go ahead, Murray.
All right, I have a streamlined breakdown for you.
Okay.
Nets receive James Harden. Rockets receive Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, this Euro road onions Kurucs, four first-round picks, 4 pick swaps. Cavaliers receive Jared Allen and Taurean Prince.
So, let me ask you, is Houston getting any picks, either picks or swaps from Cleveland?
The Cavs 2022 first rounder via Milwaukee.
So,
yeah,
whatever. So that might have some value, right? Well, if it's via Milwaukee, maybe not. I don't want to do the picks on your own time. So they're pairing Harden with Kyrie.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to work.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's a disaster waiting to happen. Like that is going to be worth watching. In fact, that's enough to log on right now and get NBA TV.
I'm telling you, if. If Kyrie, the problem had, the worry has to be twofold, getting Kyrie to show up. But if Kyrie shows up, then the Nets have to worry about James Harden eating them. It's like those two can't. That's ridiculous. That them trading Caris LeVert in this, I think, is so freaking stupid. I mean, someone's got to explain to me why that makes sense. That's gross. That is gross. That kid can play.
Okay, so again, you understand why? Because if you're talking about Harden at his peak,
what?
Yeah, what do you got, Murray? Shams also just tweeted the Indiana Pacers are moving Victor Oladipo to the Rockets for package around Caris LeVert. So it sounds like LeVert is going to now go to Indiana.
So they just replaced Harden with Oladipo, and got picks.
Right.
It's not horrible for them.
No, it's a good trade for Houston. What a great league. Seriously. I mean, in some respects, it's freaking stupid. I mean, you know, these teams have to jump through because these players are so petulant and, you know, like that makes it kind of silly, but boy, is it entertaining. Holy smokes. So what just happened now? So LeVert is LeVert's actually going to Indy.
Yeah. So again, Shams Charania, the Indiana Pacers are moving Victor Oladipo to the Rockets for package around Caris LeVert. That's wild. There's a lot of big moves here.
But I'm sorry. The thing that sticks out to me is that, for me, the trade that made sense for the Nets was shipping out Kyrie Irving. Okay? It was trading trash for trash. Trading Kyrie for Harden. Something like straight up. You know, as close to that as they could get. That's what I would have done. That makes sense to me if I'm the Nets. And now you're keeping your surrounding cast. That Jared Allen, that Jared Allen torched you. Do you remember what he did to you on Christmas?
I like Allen, too. Yeah, I like him as a player, too.
Jared Allen. Front court with Drummond and Kevin Love. That's not bad.
I don't care about that. I do that on your own time. I cared about the Celtics, how that related to the Celtics.
It's a sports
show. Jared Allen was the best big guy in that matchup of the entire, all your starters, all your guys, and even DeAndre Jordan or whatever. Like, that was the guy. And now they trade him and they trade Caris LeVert. Oh, I hate that from the Nets. I hate that.
How long till Steve Nash steps down, too?
How long till Harden loses weight? Like, I'm trying to figure out when Harden's going to be a legit player in that operation. He looks like a human pufferfish. He's gigantic, for crying out loud. He just completely blew up.
All right, so major fireworks across the NBA. Let's discuss. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, folks, there is major breaking news across the NBA at this hour, and it does impact the Boston Celtics. Murray, why don't you just update us, because, boy, that went fast and furious, that last segment. What have we finalized what these trades are?
Yeah, give me one sec, because I had to switch studios again. Effing situation in this place. Just give me a minute. Talk.
Okay, that's all right. So the long and short of it is James Harden has been traded to the Brooklyn Nets, and it sounds like that Kyrie Irving is not going anywhere. And I don't know if he was ever considered to be going anywhere. I put him on the board today because to me the Nets trade that makes sense is Kyrie Irving for James Harden. Instead, Brooklyn is trading out a lot of their really good, solid, young ancillary pieces like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen as part of a big, massive three-way trade that includes Indiana that has now Caris LeVert going to Indiana, Oladipo going to Houston. We care less about that. Also, Cleveland's involved. It's a four-way team. Jared Allen, I guess, goes to Cleveland, which, again, I think we care less about. But the what we do care about is Brooklyn. Right in your face here all season long. Team you got to get past to go to the NBA Finals. Now they've added James Harden to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, except they've lost pretty much everything else that I think is valuable on that team. And so that's the story. Is this good news or bad news for the Celtics, Mavs?
Bad news. Bad news. And when I say bad news, I mean that Brooklyn's ceiling in the short term is higher. Now, you want to talk about longer term, the Celtics might benefit from it. Because, again, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road when Tatum and Brown are hitting their peaks, these guys are a little bit older, and who knows how fat Harden will be by then. Like, there's no way to know that. But in the short term, look, I think Brooklyn, after having gone in with Durant and Kyrie, what they've decided is we need another piece to beat the Lakers. I mean, that's really what this is about. It's about winning a championship. You don't make a move like that unless you're looking for immediate return. And so were they going to be able to beat the Lakers, who have LeBron and Anthony Davis? And I think they determined they had to take the shot. And when I say had to, wanted to. So, but there's an obvious question in Brooklyn, and that is how many pieces can you cut the ball into?
Yeah, I mean, they're never going to all play with each other. So I think it's almost moot. It's not going to affect the Celtics in any way, shape, or form. It looks good on paper, but Kyrie Irving and James Harden and Kevin Durant will never be on the floor at the same time.
Oh, I disagree with you, Murray.
You think one of those guys is going to come off the bench?
No, Kyrie's never showing up.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, okay, I was going to say. Either James Harden's going to eat himself off the team, or Kyrie's not going to show up. What, Murray?
All right, so here's the full current trade from Shams. He just updated it. The Rockets get Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, this Road Onions guy, 3 Brooklyn first-rounders, 4 Brooklyn first-round swaps, and a Milwaukee first. The Nets get James Harden. Pacers get Caris LeVert and a second-rounder. Cavs get Jared Allen and Taurean Prince.
Houston did well in this deal.
Yeah, they landed on their feet.
Yeah, Houston did well, all things considered. I mean, again, I know the picks in and of themselves, you say, picks. But if you get enough of them, one of them might turn into something significant. Like, it's about the volume of picks, right? And the chance to swap and get first round. And now who knows what the protections are. But I think under the circumstances, for a 31-year-old fat tub of goo who is going to make $45 million, they did okay.
So I'll tell you what. Let me just ask you this, Mass. Is Brooklyn better with Harden, Durant, LeVert, and Allen, or Kyrie, Harden, Durant, and none of those guys?
So
I think it's the first thing.
Well, we've seen it here, right? The question is, can the pieces work together? On paper, the talent, they're better with Harden, Kyrie, and Durant.
So
on paper.
So as I'm saying this, maybe Houston didn't want Kyrie, which, you know, you could see. Maybe no one wanted Kyrie. Maybe they didn't, you know, no one. But I'm dealing Kyrie Irving before I'm dealing LeVert and Allen. I guess that's what boils down to.
Sure.
And if I could have gotten whoever, you know, any of these 4 teams that were involved in this stuff today, Cleveland, Indiana, Houston, these 3 teams, if I could have gotten one of them to take Kyrie instead of LeVert and Allen, that's what I would have done. And if no one would have done that, I would have passed on the deal. I think Brooklyn gave up too much. They gave up too much of their whole team. And so their ceiling's higher, I suppose, because Harden's such a, you know, he's a great, great scorer. But I think they gave up too much in the interim of it. I think I don't agree with this trade for Brooklyn.
Yeah, look, I believe in the horse and not the ponies. The question is whether or not you consider Harden to be a horse.
Oh, he's a horse.
I don't mean in weight. Like, yeah, he's gigantic. A complete whale. Because, again, do the math. How many minutes are there in a game? They're each going to get 35 in a playoff game. More, probably. But let's just call it 35. So now the 3 of them are on the floor for 35 minutes. How many more minutes do you get to give around? And when you have players like that, the role players become easier to fill in because those guys are going to dominate the ball all the time. So, again, on paper, my question, I have 2 questions about it. One is, can it work because of the a-holes involved? I mean, seriously, you have one guy who is the fattest, most disgusting, like really repulsive guy in the league. And when I say that, I mean in terms of his value system and whether or not you could have any respect for him. You have another guy that doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to play. Kyrie doesn't want to go to work. It's unbelievable. So I look at that and say, can that possibly work? The second,
right.
I'm sorry, the second part for me quickly is just, did Brooklyn look at this and say, we have to get Harden because we don't know when Kyrie's coming back? Like what measure of it is that? They had to say, we got to mitigate it now because we have to go get a second A-hole because we don't know if the first A-hole is going to show up.
But I'll tell you, Murray mentioned it earlier, like, you know, the way Durant and the Nets looked last night. I think LeVert has ceiling, and that team is well enough constructed that even without Kyrie Irving and without this trade, the Nets still might be the best team in the... I mean, Durant's that good. Durant is Giannis with a game, mm-hmm. as I like to say. I don't think people appreciate or, you know, really understand how long and big Durant is. And he's nearly as long as and big as Giannis, except he's got game. And he can almost single-handedly do it. Never mind those pieces around him. I think the Nets might have had enough even without Kyrie Irving, without this trade. It would have been, you know, close. With Kyrie and his head screwed on straight, that's another level. But this one, I don't like this trade for the Nets. So I promise, your reaction to it. The breaking news comes your way right here in the update, and then we discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, as promised, your reaction to this pretty seismic trade across the NBA, directly impacting the Boston Celtics. Brooklyn Nets have just added James Harden to Kyrie Irving, if he ever shows up, and Kevin Durant. But they peeled off a lot of good young pieces in the process. So how do you feel about all of this? Martin on the Cape. Go ahead, Martin.
Did you say eight first rounders or Harden eight the first round? It seems like an awful lot of rearranging to do just to retain the mental defective and get Chubby Checker. It just has to be Durant giving the green light to that deal. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Just finish up.
So now the Nets have the nut who's capable of tearing the team apart, and the slob who's tearing the strip club buffet table apart. I haven't seen a player try to eat his way out of the NBA since Lonnie Shelton, honest to God. I mean, really, it's shocking how quickly Harden put on that extra layer of duck fat. I haven't seen anyone develop an offensive lineman's ass that fast since Revis re-signed with the Jets. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, I knew you had more material there, Martin. Fat slob, disgrace.
It's Pablo
disgrace.
Sandoval-esque.
It is. He's totally Pablo. They got Kyrie, Durant, and Pablo.
Who was the reserve big man the Celtics had for a time?
Thomas Hamilton.
Thomas Hamilton, is that what it is? He was double zero, I think?
He was out of shape.
Oh, my God, he was just grotesque.
It's over three bills.
Oh, the fattest guy you've ever seen in pro sports.
Oliver Miller was another one in the NBA. Remember him? He was huge.
Sean Kemp. Remember what happened
another
to Sean
one.
Kemp?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, like, we can play this game all day long. He's now on the Nets. They have put together, they have just put together, Maz, two of the most loathsome, disgraceful pro athletes, maybe on the planet today, close to it. Antonio Brown's on this list. Like, there's a, you know, of all the despicable pro athletes that are floating around right now, the Nets just may have put them together.
Oh, without question. This is now the most insufferable team in all of professional sports, and I just don't see how it's going to work at all. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to end up showing back up unless they fire Steve Nash or he steps down, which I believe is probably going to happen within the next, like, 72 hours.
Cuckoo's nest. It's the cuckoo's nest.
Chris and Taunton. Go ahead, Chris.
So one thing I like to point out is Kyrie Irving was, when he was fined for not talking to the media, was talking about this money better be used somewhere else. What about all these hundreds of thousands that he's given away from not showing up? Can that money go towards something else?
I would like to think.
Love the show. You guys do a great job. Be listening.
Okay, Chris, I do wonder, you know, if if he's not showing up and it's $400,000 a game, if I'm the Nets, I'm not paying him anymore. I'll give you a game or two to figure your crap out. But you don't get a two-week paid sabbatical to go to your sister's birthday party or to go campaign events on Zoom or whatever the hell it is you're doing. So, no, I'm accounting for that money if I'm the Nets. $400,000 a game. Do the Nets just put it in their pocket? Or is there a fine system that then goes to NBA charities? I don't know. But
regardless, he gets no say. If you don't show up to work and you don't tell your employer why and you have cut off communication, go F yourself. What we do with the money is no longer any of your business.
Well, so I agree. The point is, you know, the caller brought it up, like the idea of do the Nets just pocket it now, or hopefully it goes to some sort of use, you know, that someone that really needs it. But
either way.
But Kyrie, think about what they have going on there, okay? They have three superstars. One is playing, coming off an Achilles injury, is a good story. Two, left. Nobody can get in contact with him. He just decided to go home because he didn't feel like playing. And three, the guy looks like he's going to eat his way from Houston to New York. Like, how many fast food joints could I hit on the way while driving to New York?
Him last night in that blue warm-up, Violet Beauregard, that's the kid that blew up in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That's what he looked like. Ha, good Lord. Joe in the truck on Kyrie Irving. Pop him up here, Stu. We're all jammed up. Line 7. Hi, Joe. You're up next.
Even if Kyrie does play, the fact that that puke makes $410,000 a game makes me want to drive into a bridge abutment. I can't stand it. But to get even more depressed, I Googled biggest game check in sports, and Pat Mahomes makes 2.6 a game. He's a good guy, but 2.6 a game.
He's worth it.
He's worth it.
He's a pro. He cares. He gives a crap. He works his ass off. He deserves every dime.
Guy's the face of the league.
He might deserve more. I don't begrudge any of these guys their money if they are professionals.
If they're earning it, actually.
I don't even care if you suck. Like, if you show up every day and put in the work and you just suck, well, that's okay. But at least you have to put up your end of the bargain. And they're going to agree to pay you, Kyrie, $30 million, and you're going to not show up because of why. No one really knows. You don't just like your coach, or you didn't have the input in your coach, or your sister had a birthday, or you want to support a candidate for DA in New York, or you are upset about the Capitol riots, or you think the earth is flat, or what. I don't know. But the fact that he is going to lose this money, I think, it's so freaking sad. It is the, and I don't get all moralistic on you, but how hard regular people have to work for 1/400th of that, you know, or whatever, just to make ends meet. And he is so lucky that he's so gifted that he gets to make nearly $500,000 a game. And he is so flippant and so willing to just give, whatever, man, $400,000, whatever, is, I think, freaking sad.
Well, he's not feeling it. He's not feeling it. And so, I part of me, like, finds this so, and I say, funny. What, Kyrie, you playing? Hey, where's Kyrie? He went home. What's he doing? I don't know.
Can we get in touch with him?
No. Is he coming back? No, no, no.
Not sure.
Where's Harden? He's taking a nap. Really? He's in a food coma.
Okay, what if, though, let's
it's
just play
so
this.
It's so discreet, they have no shame. The what two if, of them have no shame.
What if Harden gets in shape, screws his head on straight, Kyrie Irving comes back? What are the Nets? We'll discuss right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Fill your mess. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can You know, I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
That was James Harden last night. And today he gets his wish. Traded to the team that he wanted to be traded to from the start. Player wins in that league, no matter how unprofessional, no matter how disgraceful and just despicable your the way you carry yourself, you get rewarded, you get what you want, and James Harden gets what he wants. He goes to the Brooklyn Nets, and that's where we are today. As I asked you going into break, Mez, let's just say Harden puts it together, gets in shape, is engaged, and at his best, and Kyrie Irving decides to show back up and be Kyrie Irving, the good Kyrie Irving. What are the Brooklyn Nets? How does it all work?
Well, so that's my question, is the last one. But let me start with the first one, which is they could be great. It could be great. I mean, Durant is one of the, you know, great shooting big men. He's one of the great shooters, period, in the history of the league. But at, you know, 7 feet tall, he can shoot over anybody and get whatever he wants. Kyrie can also snipe. Let's not forget that. Harden's more of a volume scorer. My question is, who handles the ball? Harden or Kyrie? Because one of them, I think, is better than the other at really facilitating other players, and I think it's Kyrie. I would let Kyrie run the offense and use Harden as more of a spot-up shooter. But how they manage that part of it, to me, is a huge question.
You know, there's been so much nonsense the last couple of years, I almost forget. Is Kyrie a good passer?
Yes, he can be when he wants to be, and if you watch him with Durant, he's great. So this is, you know, and this happens sometimes with great players, right? Like with Paul Pierce. We never knew how good Pierce really was until we saw him with other great players. And then we went, whoa, he was finals, you know, MVP of the NBA Finals. He was maybe the best player on the floor, or one of the, you know, top two in that series. He was terrific. And so I think with Kyrie, when you see him play with a guy that's at his level and he's, you know, running the show, you realize, man, he's a better passer than I thought. He's a really good passer. And he can facilitate and make other guys better. Harden, I don't know that he can do it the same way. So I would run it through Kyrie. The problem is Harden may not go for that. Like, who? So this is where, you know, to me, this is where the issue is what do you do there? And can they all manage their egos? But, Mike, any one of them can go for 50. Any one of them.
So I'm just curious how it looks. You know, so Kyrie brings the ball up the floor. It's a pick and roll with Durant, and Harden's just standing on the three-point line. Like, I mean, that's what I think we got.
Maybe.
That's it. I would be surprised if Harden brings the ball up the floor. He, you know, and I think that's it. I think that the Nets get teams to collapse on Durant, focus on that game between Durant and Kyrie. And if the defense collapses and leaves someone open at the three-point line, you get it to Harden, and he shoots the three. And that's like it. I mean, I guess. Maybe the off-the-floor stuff is more interesting.
Hey, Mike and Tony.
Yes.
And Jim, here's something for you.
Go ahead.
Jason Dumas, blue checkmark, he says on Twitter, quote, "The Brooklyn Nets were always interested in acquiring James Harden, but the deal became imperative in the light of the situation with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie is willing to sit out the year if need be, those close to him are saying."
Ugh, go away.
So I wondered about this. I told you, maybe this was their way to leverage Kyrie or insulate themselves against Kyrie. They said, we don't know when this a-hole's coming back. We got Kevin Durant here. Like, he's ready to go. We don't have Durant forever. Who knows how many years he's got left. We got to go get another player. I did. I wondered about that.
Someone refresh my memory, too. What was the relationship between Harden and Durant in OKC? Was it icy or...
It was good, as I recall.
Okay.
So here's what I think about Durant. Durant's an interesting piece in all this, right? I feel like Durant is the follower. Like, he's the, I don't know, he's the guy that would have drank in the Kool-Aid in Jonestown. Like, he's just the guy that, you know, you can influence him, and he'll even be influenced by bad influences. Like, he's just sort of... you know what I mean, Mass?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about this. Kevin Durant was going wherever Kyrie Irving was going. So first it was the Knicks, and then DeAndre Jordan got there in a trade at midseason, realized the Knicks culture was terrible, and then they all picked Brooklyn together. So Kyrie picked Brooklyn, and Durant followed, and now Kevin Durant has more power than Kyrie Irving.
but he doesn't know how to use it. He'd rather follow than lead, or
100%.
He's susceptible, he's vulnerable, or something. Like, he's just, you know, of all the freaking clowns to attach your future to, when you can go in, when you're Kevin Durant and you own the league, you can go wherever you want, you decide, no, I want to follow Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, like, what does that say? Of all the guys to pick and all the guys to hit your wagon to, when you've got every option available to you in the league, you can pick it. You say, no, I want that guy. Hey, I'm going to follow Kyrie. It's like, so when people say, how does Durant put up with Harden? How does he put up with Kyrie? I think he puts up with it because he's the guy that just puts up with it. He goes along with it.
Yeah, so look, and lots of people have said this, right? In fact, I think Stephen A. Smith said this morning when he was talking about, I think he was talking about Kyrie should just retire. Kevin Durant just wants to play basketball. He wants to show up and play basketball and not necessarily deal with all the other stuff, including, you know, fighting with the media and talking to the front office about the roster. He just wants to be around good basketball players and play basketball, which is effectively what he did in Golden State. And remember that press conference he had in Golden State where he got kind of flippant and he was like, just let me play ball, man. I just want to play ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think in a lot of ways that's what he is. The problem is he's the best player on the team. And when you add that together, and so now they go to him, and he's like, don't ask me. I don't want anything to do with that. I just want to play. So it's a fascinating thing going on there, because if the three of them were to be on the floor at the same time, Mike, it's hard to think of too many teams that have had three better scorers on the floor at any given time. Now, Golden State immediately pops to mind, okay, because obviously Curry, Durant, and Thompson, who is more of a spot-up shooter than the other two. So, fine, Golden State's an easy one. But there aren't many occasions in history where you had three guys like that that could put up 50.
Okay, I promise. Your reaction to it, major breaking news across the NBA. James Harden has landed. It directly impacts the Boston Celtics. We'll get your thoughts on it after Jim Murray gives you the details in the update, and we come right back. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.